Now we're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, chatting today with Raleigh County Police Department Director Dennis Butler. And again, just a reminder, we'll have an interview coming up with Pottawatomie County Fair 4-H members. That'll be at the end of the hour here. Wanted to talk to you more here. We discussed it a little bit before the break about the releasing of information of victims. And I know that some in the media have criticized that decision to not release victim information. But there are laws on the books that you say you're well within your rights.
Yeah, I'll start out by saying this. We are in compliance with the Kansas Open Records Act. So nobody should be under the misimpression that we are violating the law. We are a law enforcement agency, and I would never intentionally or knowingly do that, and we are not. But there's a couple of things I'd like to share with your listeners to make it easier for them to understand what the Kansas Open Records Act, which you may hear me refer to as CORA, involves. First of all, there is a frequently asked question link on the Kansas Attorney General's website, and it's very basic and not difficult to understand. If you read the law itself, it's very dry and can be very confusing. So I would encourage people who are interested in this topic to go to the Kansas Attorney General's website. They have a search function on there. They could type in CORA and they'll get all kinds of information. But here's the basics. The law has not changed in many years. And the Raleigh County Police Department for many years has been more accommodating to some members of the local media than what is required by law. And the law says that in offense reports, the first page or the face page, which contains victim information, has to be made available to members of the public. And the media are members of the public. And if you look at the AG's website, they're very specific that the media does not have any more right to this information than citizens. And the process is this. They make a request for a victim's name, and within 3 days, we have to respond to them with the victim's name. We are also allowed to charge a nominal fee for the research that we do to provide that name. And so some of the members of local media have not been required to do that. Again, based on all of this victim feedback and officer feedback, we have now changed our policy that requires all requests for victim information to go through the same process that's been in place for years that we have made other citizens and other organizations use. And they pay a fee as well. So I want to be very clear. We have not changed we're not in violation of the law. We have not been violating the law. We are just asking everybody to go through the same process. And this, again, is to try to protect victim identity so they are not re-traumatized by having their name published or mentioned in news reports. It's just that basic. That's my motive. Victims and protecting them.
And this would be no different what you're doing here if you were going, say, Salina or Chanute or Dodge City, anywhere else in the state of Kansas. Isn't that right?
Yeah. You know, as part of this process, I went online and I checked daily media releases from police departments around the state of Kansas, large ones, small ones, rural ones, urban ones. And I could not find another example where they routinely list victims' names in their daily media report. Again, when I came here, I saw that it was different. I didn't change it because it was different or because that's the way it is. I thought, well, there's a different community expectation here. Well, I have found that the citizens of this community didn't like it, and we are within our authority, and we are following the law to make the change that we've made. And all of the feedback I've received informally, without soliciting, from citizens and sometimes government officials, is they are supportive of what we have done, and they think it's a good thing for our community.
All right. Well, we have a phone call here. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. I have two questions. You don't publish the lady's name. You publish the man's name on these accusations of rape and or battery to protect her. And you run his name through the system, and then people don't know if he's guilty or not guilty. But very last night, the officer that I saw, a woman battered a man, and they didn't list her name and dragged her through the man. I don't follow that.
Well, let me answer that question before you ask the second one. What you're talking about is the difference between a victim and an arrestee. And under Kansas Open Records, we do have to release the name of arrestees when they've been arrested. We would not release the suspect's name if they have not been arrested unless we need the public's help in trying to locate someone. So I want to be very clear. Victims' names, we don't want to release. If someone's been arrested, their name is released, and the law requires us to release it. So I just want to make that distinction. So what's your second question, sir?
Well, whether she was arrested or not, but it did say she battered him. I want a certain-aged woman. Okay, the second question is, they didn't put the article in the paper last night that you're going to charge to these records, which are open records. They did not list the charge. Everything but the charge, unless I missed.
They did not list it. The charge is $5 per request. That fee has been in place for well over a decade, I believe, maybe 20 years. That has been the fee and has not changed. It hasn't been adjusted for inflation. And there are groups and individual citizens that pay that fee all the time to get information that we legally can provide. There are some things we are not required to provide. For example, an active criminal investigation has information in it that would hamper our ability to investigate it if we released it, and we're not required to do it. But I want you to know the standard that we have asked local media to follow is the same standard that all citizens have been following for decades. So that has not changed, and we are in compliance with CORA.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, and appreciate you clarifying those. I thought those were pretty good questions. And as far as this goes, nothing's going to change as far as your thoughts here. You're gonna stay the course the way that things are going.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Well, as far as other opportunities here with the RCPD, I know we talked a little bit at the top of the program about these August events here. You got the National Night Out and such. Anything else coming up here in the near term for you guys?
God, you caught me off guard with that one. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I'm sure I'll get a text here from one of my staff telling me something. But no, I came prepared to talk about the things we discussed this morning, and I can't think off the top of my head anything other than National Night Out coming up.
Dave, you have something?
Battle of the Badges. Concluded. What do you have to say for yourselves?
Wah, wah, wah. We could have done better, and I'm going to work very hard to have a better showing next year. So,
you know, and the fun thing about this is that all three entities, EMS, RCPD, and MFD, they all have a lot of fun with it. And we try to, add to that if we possibly can. But I did get some interesting quotes from some people from all agencies.
We got it handed to us, but the thing that I am very happy about is the fact that we almost met last year's donation goal of 288 pints, and that's exciting to hear. And
absolutely.
The community is the winner.
And that's the best part of these things, as we all know. That's the whole thrust behind this. And it's good that we have a good-natured effort in order to accomplish that.
It's all in good fun for a good cause.
Absolutely. All right, that's all I got.
All right.
Thanks.
Well, like I said, it's always good to have you out here, Director Butler. I don't really have anything else. I think we covered everything I was going to get to here today. But
have you been putting purple in your wardrobe?
I am slowly building up the wardrobe, yes.
Okay.
I've got a shirt with a power cat on it.
Shirt.
Well, hang on. I'm not done yet. I've got a purple tie. I think I've even worn that here on a Friday. So it's coming along. I want to be selective on the kind of gear that I collect. I don't want to just grab whatever's out there. So it's got to look good, and it's got to be something that I'll be proud to wear. So.
Well, working with the games as I do, and the collaborative effort that it takes between a lot of folks, that are looking from a safety and security and health issues, it's a tremendous approach, and they put a lot into it, and I know that your staff that's out there that works over there monitoring the roadways and everything, and traffic considerations. There's a lot of communication with the city and the county and EMS and emergency operations.
You know, if it's anything, I haven't seen it yet, and I'm going too soon, but if it's anything like what I saw at the Emergency Operations Center during the flood threat, you know, I think it's a well-oiled machine that's well-developed, and I can't wait to see it firsthand.
Well, maybe see you up there on the sixth floor sometime.
Yep, I hope so.
All right.
All right. Well, Director Butler, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next month.
Yep, thank you. Have a good weekend.
We'll continue more in focus after this.
Pottawatomie County Fair, our subject, by the way, Blueville's Horticulture Hints, in the 10 o'clock hour this morning with Derek.
The K-Man Morning Show is brought to you by ESB Financial. Did you know that ESB Financial has shred boxes in their lobbies for their clients to use year-round to